The material in this podcast is for information purposes only. It does not represent the opinions of Vested Finance and is not intended to be investment advice. We recommend you to consult with a financial advisor before committing to any financial decisions. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 11 of our Vested Finance podcast. My name is Kaihan. I'm an editor at Vested calling in from Singapore. My co-host today is Darwin, a co-founder at Vested who is recording from the US. Great to have you here today, Darwin.
Thanks, Kai. Glad to be here. And to our listeners, thanks again for joining us this week. All right, Kai, what are we discussing today?
Well, Darwin, I believe we've come full circle from our first podcast where we talked about Airbnb's rebound as well as their intentions to IPO. COVID has been escalating, putting an immense strain on global travel and bringing most businesses to a standstill. Yet Airbnb seems to have prevailed, and it looks like they will keep to their word and will IPO in December.
Yes, this is really a testament to the resiliency of their business. As the world grounded to a halt due to COVID-19, global travel came to a standstill, as you say, so did Airbnb's business. But unlike its hotel competitors, Airbnb's business model proved to be much more resilient. So roughly, you can categorize travel into four categories. You can do international travel, which then goes to inside cities or outside cities, or you can do domestic travels with, again, you go to inside cities, outside cities, right? COVID-19 really pretty much halted international travel and severely diminished travel within cities. To illustrate how bad of a shock the pandemic was to Airbnb's business, you can look at the company's gross booking value. This is the amount of money users spend on lodging and experiences on Airbnb. So the gross booking value went down from $3.5 billion in February to negative $900 million in March. That's a negative of $4.4 billion swing in just 1 month. Without international travel, what remained was domestic travel to areas outside the city. This has become key to Airbnb's business recovery because unlike its competitors, Airbnb has lodging supply in all the four categories I mentioned above. As the pandemic forced workers to work remotely, city residents to flee to the suburbs, and domestic travel, specifically short-distance travel outside the top 20 cities, and longer-term stay rebounded. Bookings have mostly recovered through the summer for Airbnb, although as of September, it's still about 17% lower compared to the same period of last year.
Still, some recovery is better than none. How's Airbnb's recovery compared to its competitors?
It's probably more fair to compare Airbnb to an OTA, online travel agent service, than, say, traditional hotels, since both Airbnb and OTAs have asset-light marketplace model that match lodging supply and demand. So let's compare Airbnb with Booking.com, one of the preeminent OTA. Booking.com offers both hotels on its websites and also alternative accommodations, such as private homes, apartments, etc. When you compare the two, Airbnb has recovered faster. Booking.com saw its gross booking value over the first 9 months of 2020 decline by 63% over the same period in 2019. If you compare that to Airbnb's number, Airbnb only saw a 39% decrease. This is because hotel and international travel has not returned for Booking.com.
Okay, so we know that Airbnb is resilient, but what about their profitability?
So far, Airbnb has not achieved consistent operating profitability. This means that the business is not yet efficient. Before the pandemic in 2019, Booking.com operated at an average margin of 34%, while Airbnb operated at an average operating margin of negative 15%. Now, to be fair, Booking.com is a much more mature business and it's at scale, while Airbnb is still growing and is still investing heavily in its growth. That said, though, it's very likely that the business of alternative accommodations, you know, lodgings and apartments and homes, not hotels, is less profitable in general. So in its latest quarterly earnings, Booking.com mentioned that as their alternative accommodations business grows, their overall profit margin will actually decline since the alternative accommodation business has higher customer service costs and variable availability. The property owner may want to use the space for themselves during peak holidays, so that, in terms of unit economics, reduce the profitability of that type of lodging. But back to Airbnb's lack of profitability. Because of the pandemic, in Q1 and Q2 of 2020, the company was deeply unprofitable. Operating margins were negative 39% and negative 174% for those two quarters. So Airbnb took drastic measures. It cut costs and marketing. It laid off 25% of its workforce, which is about 1,900 positions, and stopped all marketing. So these moves saved the company about $800 million. And that allowed Airbnb to return to positive operating margins in Q3 2020.
Yeah, as the saying goes, desperate times, desperate measures. I get that it's apt to compare Airbnb with Booking.com since both are asset-light travel lodging marketplaces. But to me, and I think in the minds of the consumers, they're very different. Different in terms of the branding and different in terms of the overall expectations of travel experiences.
Yeah, completely agree with you. It seems very reductive to just compare the two companies based on gross booking nights and operating margins and revenue. The comparisons are helpful though, but in addition to the, let's say, magnitude of revenue, we also have to think about the quality of the revenue, right? Is Airbnb more beloved by its user? Does Airbnb have more recurring use? If so, the quality is better. And because each new dollar the company earns, it does not have to work so hard for if there's some love and repeat usage on its platform, right? It turns out Airbnb is very loved. And this shows in the revenue retention the company has for both the host and the travelers. You can see the retention chart on our blog post, which we will link in the show notes. But Airbnb is beloved by its hosts. On the host side, even after 4 and 5 years, retention revenue is more than 90%. For the 2014 cohort, that number is actually 100%. Almost all of its hosts stayed on the platform years after they signed up to become a host. Despite COVID-19 disruptions and the decline in bookings associated with that, the number of active listings in the first 9 months of 2020 remained stable at around 5.6 million. On the traveler side of the equation, the retention rate is almost 50% after 5 years. In other words, almost 1 in 2 travelers continue to use Airbnb's platform after 5 years. In fact, 69% of revenue in 2019 was generated by repeat guests compared to 66% in 2018. What this all means is that over time, the business can become more efficient because you don't have to spend sales and marketing to obtain hosts or to obtain more users. This strong brand has allowed Airbnb to still be the destination for travelers seeking lodging, even without advertising. I mentioned at the top that it stopped all marketing, right? But still, in January to September 2020, about 91% of all traffic to Airbnb came organically through direct or unpaid channels. This really bodes well for the future efficiency of the business. Now contrast that to Booking.com. The revenue quality may not be as high. Its brand strength is not as strong, and generally hotels dislike Booking.com's service.
To summarize, the diversity of lodging supply has supported Airbnb's business during these trying times, but it's not profitable yet, at least on a consistent basis. Also, Airbnb's users love them.
Yep. One more thing. So this is from the S-1. Airbnb disclosed that the company actually received a notice from the tax department, the IRS, and it may have a tax liability that is higher than it expected. So for the 2013 tax year, the IRS is proposing an increase in the company's taxable income that could result in an additional expense and cash liability of order of $1.35 billion, plus penalties and interest. So this exceeds their current reserve by more than $1 billion. But definitely something to keep a lookout for in the near term.
Well, Darwin, it will be really interesting to see how the public investors react once Airbnb officially IPOs.
Airbnb will only be one of several high-profile businesses IPOing in the next month or so. So it's going to be a very busy week until the end of the year.
Thanks, Darwin, for your insights. To our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. For more insights into markets and emerging technologies, please visit our blog at vested.co.in. As always, take care and stay safe.